This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and Kevin, we'll get to the police chase in just a moment. All right, I know that's...
Wait, what?
Yeah, Shippy's always down for a big-time police chase.
I want to do one and just, like, have immunity. You know, just see how far I can get, how many stars I rack up.
Just play Grand Theft Auto. But there were some big trades overnight, and did you think that your teams needed to be in those big trades last night? 877-881-1053. Do you want to start with the baseball or basketball trades, Kevin?
Basketball.
Basketball. There was a 7,000 team trade.
It was four teams, 12 people.
And it was it was 12 people, four different teams. The Hawks, Kevin, were included in that, as well as the Rockets and the Timberwolves and the Warriors, I believe, right? Or no, the Warriors were trying to trade with D'Angelo Williams to the Timberwolves, but it didn't go down. But
D'Angelo Russell?
Russell, good God. Yeah, whenever I don't have my computer, Kevin.
Yeah, these computers are terrible.
Things start off bad for Corey. All right, so everything went down with the basketball trades last night. We will talk to Ryan McDonough at 11:22 today to see if the Mavericks need to make a move. The fact that the Mavericks haven't already made a move, aside from the Willie Cauley-Stein thing, does that concern you, or does it make you think they're not going to do anything else and they're going to stand pat?
I mean, it's not concerning when you heard, like, Covington, the Timberwolves were wanting two first-rounders as part of the Covington deal, but then you saw that, like, that's not actually what they were looking for whatsoever. Is... You know, if you picked up Iggy, that would be okay. Otherwise, people that are looking for, like, more of a big splash, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. You know, Sacramento might be looking to deal Buddy Hield, and Minnesota still wants to make the move for Russell, which is why they made kind of this move. I don't see anything super big that the Mavericks are going to get involved in. Obviously, I would have loved for them to be involved in this trade to pick up Clint Capella, but as soon as you heard that the Rockets were looking to deal Capella to an Eastern team, then you realize, well, that's probably not going to be in the cards for us. So I guess I can't be too upset that they weren't involved in this if that was never going to happen.
Rockets, Hawks, Timberwolves, Nuggets, 12-player deal. And, man, that's a – I know Covington, didn't they want two first-round picks for Covington?
Yeah, yep. Yes.
They get it?
No.
Seems like they should, though. Like, it seems like he's...
Well, they're just going to trade those picks away to Golden State anyway to pick up D'Angelo Russell. By fun fact of the day for you, this is the biggest NBA trade since Patrick Ewing went to the no longer existent Seattle Supersonics.
I miss them.
Yeah, Kevin Durant was so bad that franchise folded. Just something kidding, like people. Relax.
You guys miss the Vancouver Grizzlies?
Their Mavericks will be playing Memphis Grizzlies tonight. So we'll...
That's why I brought it up.
Okay, yeah, no, the Mavericks will get into that tonight.
Those jerseys were sweet.
I think, Kevin, that the Mavericks, aside from what they already did, I think they might be done unless there's an Iggy addition tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it makes perfect sense for it to come tonight, them being here and everything, them playing against them tonight. So it makes sense, but I don't know that it's exactly going to happen. That being said, I'm fine with this team going and trying to see what they can do this year with this group. I mean, they've won some games, and I know you said, but yeah, I want to win more, and I get that. I totally get it. I think that this team has the right players. Aside from the Courtney Lee contract, there's nothing I really want to get rid of. I mean,
yeah, because Hardaway is now like I would have thought maybe that would have been one of the things, but now he's a valuable part of this team.
And
so.
Dwight Powell not being here, like Dwight Powell was an asset to the Mavericks, and maybe more valuable to the Mavericks than anybody else. But I thought that he was somebody that they would say, okay, this is the kicker in a trade. But you can't do that either. So I see. Maybe it's just the Courtney Lee contract and some future picks that the other teams might want from the Mavericks. I don't see any reason at the moment to swing some big deal in order to get this team better right now, because I think they're a good quality basketball team.
You know, the one I was more disappointed, I mean, I knew they wouldn't be involved, but the one I was more disappointed is my team not being involved in all the baseball wheelings and dealings. That was the one that I was bummed about. I mean, like, I know they got people back, but people are furious because this looks like a straight salary dump for the Red Sox trying to get under the luxury tax threshold with them sending Mookie Betts and perpetual playoff underachiever David Price to the Dodgers. And then you also hear that the Angels are picking up Jock Peterson, and there's like all kinds of movings and shakings. And I'm just disappointed because my perception is that the Rangers were like just sitting around. And they're like, hey,
during this
trade? Yeah, and they're like, hey, we made a minor league deal that nobody cares about.
Okay, who out of this group did you want, though?
Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is second best. You can make an argument, second best player in baseball.
But the Rangers aren't paying $420 million for him.
They don't have to. He gets paid $27 million this year. He would instantly be far and away your best player.
Do they, you know, what about the draft? What about the capital? Can they make that move?
Yeah, the trade, like, I haven't seen, outside of Verdugo, I haven't seen like some of the prospect rankings and everything like that, but the way that the Red Sox are getting torched across the world leads me to believe that this was not something that was unachievable, and there was even word they might kick over a little bit of cash for this, which is insane. And so, yeah, I think we could have made a move on this. And would it have only been a one-year move? Yeah, probably. But on the flip side, are the Rangers going to pay that money? No, but I think they should consider it. Like, I get frustrated with the Rangers, like I'm sure we all do, because the Rangers over the last few years, it feels like they take and take and take from their fan base. And what do you give back? Like, you got $500 million of your stadium paid for. And you could tell me, sorry, this is going to take just a second. You could tell me that, like, that's just the cost of doing business. Fine. Here's what I know. You know what part of that all of the taxpayers get to own? You know what part of that stadium you get to own, Corey? Nothing. You know what part of that stadium the Rangers get to own? All of it. You know what that's going to do to the valuation of the club? It's going to make it go up a lot. And so for us to just sit here and go, well, I don't really know if we can do anything. Okay, that's annoying. Like, you got a new stadium when you didn't need a new stadium because you're like, it's too hot. People don't want to watch baseball outside. Fine, we gave in. You got your free stadium or half-price stadium, and we paid for $500 million of it. The fan base, the taxpayers are paying for that. And the Rangers' response is, well, we got a couple of more mid-level pitchers. That's not good enough, man.
Yeah, but business-wise, it doesn't make any sense to do anything else.
It doesn't
make sense.
You're
going to show up to the new stadium.
I guess.
Seriously, man. Like, what?
I guess.
What sense does it make if I'm running a business for me to say, if I've been kind of even flatlining on money because of my stadium, and now I got my stadium, why can't I layer on some? That's business.
I know, you're right.
So it makes sense to them.
You're right. From a business perspective, it makes sense. Because are people still going to show up? You're damn right.
From John Daniels' perspective, do you think it makes sense?
No, because you had the opportunity to get maybe the second best player in baseball.
So you believe ownership is a bottom line group.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Front office is a we want to win a championship group, right? Like, for John Daniels not winning those two championships when the Rangers had the opportunity to do it because Game 6 happened with Nelson Cruz.
All right.
For John Daniels, that's something that still haunts him. Like, that's something he's like, I built the right team. I had all the leeway in the world to build it, too. And they should have won that game. They should have won that championship. And, Kevin, guess what that would do? That would mean that nobody could question John Daniels forever.
Sure.
All of his decisions
that he made World Series.
Got him the World Series.
I agree.
It would legitimize everything that he's done so far, and he would have that free seat forever. And he catches heat all the time. I don't believe that John Daniels walks into it and looks at his payroll options and says, man, we are going to have to screw over the fans this year. Sorry. I think he goes into every offseason saying, okay, how am I going to figure out how to convince these players to come play for our team and also convince them to do it for the budget that I'm restricted to? That's what I believe with John Daniels. And there's a separation there. So whenever I think that when they hear things about Mookie Betts, they pick up the phone and they say, I want to try and see, you know, how we can get involved in this. And then they say, here's the numbers you're dealing with. And they say, well, we're not going to be able to sign Mookie Betts in the future. It doesn't make sense if we're trying to grow this other thing right now. Again, because we got the new stadium, we don't really even have to.
And all of that makes sense. It does. For somebody as like, that's the best player you could conceivably get if Mike Trout's not out on the market. And to me, it's worth taking a shot. It's worth taking that 1 year, $27 million shot that you can convince him, that this fan base can convince him, that the money can convince him, that this is the place that you need to stay. Because let's say that it did work. You just traded for Mike Trout Jr. Now, that might be a big junior, but still, you just traded for one of the best players in the game, the new face of your franchise, maybe the best player you've ever had. What if I told you that? What if I told you you could have made a trade for who would go down as the best player you've ever had, straight talent-wise? And that's not worth a shot? I get it. Financially, you're right. Corey's 100% right. It makes no sense. But I'm going to take my shot. 1 year, $27 million. I got 1 year winning-wise and contract-wise to convince you to stay. The fan base has 1 year to convince you to stay. And it might be as simple as this. The dollars convince you to stay. Fine. I got a year to figure it out. I got a year to convince my ownership that we've got the second best player in baseball and you cannot let him walk out that door because the appeal, and that would be my sell.
Didn't we try that with Prince Fielder though?
Yeah. Well,
we thought he was going to win the batting title here.
Well, then I need somebody else to make that pitch besides John Daniels because they'll be like, oh, your big financial moves don't super work out.
All right. They got Greg Bird. They signed Greg Bird to a minor league contract.
We made an irrelevant minor league deal that nobody in baseball cares about.
We might have gotten the 2020 version of Nelson Cruz.
Okay, stop. What are you doing?
This dude can mash.
What are you doing right now?
This dude can hit the ball. He can't stay healthy. And Nelson Cruz's biggest problem throughout early part of his career. Is this the spring training birds?
Is that what those are?
No. This is the guy that can hit 30 home runs a year for you, Kevin, if he can stay healthy. Maybe they just give him a different shoe. Like, I don't understand why the Yankees couldn't figure out how to keep this guy's feet from getting injured every year. But this guy, he can mash. He could be this year's Nelson Cruz, mm-hmm. that understated addition that you made. Mm-hmm. And then Joey Gallo turns into...
Do you even believe that?
The Josh Hamilton and all these things all come together at just the same time, and Rougned Odor comes back to life. What are you doing laughing about that?
I just wrote a funny joke.
Okay, he was doing dad jokes, getting ready for that today.
It's really fascinating to me how many people are like, no, I wouldn't do that because you're giving up your future. Yeah, because who are all the prospects coming up that are going to dominate the next generation of Rangers baseball? Take a look at all of the prospects that you thought were going to dominate that we traded away that did nothing. Like, let's face it. We have a below-average farm system. Like, we used to have one of the best farm systems, but right now we have a below-average farm system, and you can pitch to me, no, it's at least average. Awesome.
Just got better with Greg Bird in it, though, Kevin.
Yeah, he's going to have a section called the Birdhouse.
Then you can trade Guzman. Okay, I'm in on that.
Yeah, that I'm in on.
It's going to be like upper deck, left field.
You may not play much. They'll be there.
What are we going to call them? The Birdhousers?
The Birdies.
The Birdies. Okay.
They can just be the Birds.
And then real quick, did you see that the Stars lost in overtime last night? But we got at least 1 point.
When are we
going to... 5 out of 6 on the trip.
Shippy, at what point do we start scoring first?
Hopefully soon. Okay. But I feel like I've been answering this question for like months, like since the beginning of the season. Because everybody's like, oh, it's not sustainable, is it? It's like, no, it's really not, but it's happening and working, kind of. So, yeah, I don't know if that's ever going to happen because this the system that they're in is super defensive and honestly kind of boring. So, but, hey, it works. It worked for the St. Louis Blues last postseason. They just need to work on that offensive time of possession if they want it to be able to succeed in the playoffs.
And you did bring up a good point. Like, overtime loss aside, at least you picked up the 1 point, and on the East Coast trip, you got 5 out of 6.
Yep.
Now you get to welcome the fake Minnesota North Stars to town for your next game. Like, never forget, we stole your team.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I just always want to remind them of that.
And never forget what they did to the Stars before the All-Star break.
Yeah, 7-0.
Yeah. That one hurt.
I can never forget that.
That one hurt.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we go around the NFC East with off-season predictions for all four of the teams.
The Bird Watchers. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Pete Rose has asked for reinstatement. And Kevin, I know that's huge news for you because he's furious with the Astros and what they've done. But right now, we like to do this segment called Around the NFC East. And you usually do it like in the 1 o'clock or a late noon hour. And so our 10 o'clock hour fans have not had the opportunity to get all up in that one right there. So here we go. We're going to rumble through the East, Kevin, as we look at projections for next year with this team.
So we can go through all of the teams in the NFC East. These are off-season predictions per ESPN.com. Which team would you like to start with? You have the Washington Redskins, the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, or the Dallas Cowboys?
I'm going to start with the Cowboys, Kevin.
Because
I think we start strong. And the Cowboys, I think, are going to win all the Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is not the prediction here.
Okay.
The prediction will be devastating to some, but welcome news to others. How about that?
Oh, no.
Jason Witten will play a 17th season, but it will not be with the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't want to see that. And I might be the only person, like, I would rather Jason Witten play his last season with the Cowboys than play it anywhere else. A, I don't want him to win a Super Bowl.
What?
With another team.
Oh.
With another team, Shippy.
Oh, man.
It would be like seeing
DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware,
yeah.
Win with another, or like Nelson Cruz or Derek Holland winning with another team. Beloved player winning with another team. I don't want to see him winning with another team. I want to see him win with my team.
So
right?
You're not rooting for the Pirates this year?
No. Sorry.
I am. What a hater.
I'm rooting for him.
Arr!
I'm rooting for him.
I support you, Derek. Fly me out to Florida.
With Jason Witten, it doesn't feel right. Like Tony Dorsett being a Bronco at the end of his career, Emmitt Smith being a Cardinal at the end of his career, just doesn't feel right to me, dude. Sorry, Jason, or Cowboys, bring him back if you have to.
So those are your only two options. He plays elsewhere or he plays here?
No, he doesn't play elsewhere.
No. I'm saying those are your
only
two options.
I'd rather him play here.
Really?
I'd rather him play here and be a backup.
What if your only two options are he starts here or plays somewhere else?
That you didn't know!
I'm changing the parameters.
He doesn't have to start here all the time.
Yes.
No,
all the time.
He doesn't, Kevin. Those Stop the, changing these
that
parameters.
That is the option I'm offering.
You know what? Then bring him back again, Kevin. I don't want
what?
To. That's how badly I don't want to see one of my icons go somewhere else and finish and win a Super Bowl.
You just folded on that. Disappointed in you.
No, I still want him here.
All right. Do you want Giants, Eagles, or Redskins?
Chippy?
Oh, man. The Eagles.
All right.
Of course.
This is interesting. The Philadelphia Eagles will make a splash move at cornerback. So both their starting cornerbacks?
Byron Jones?
Actually, maybe. Both of their starting cornerbacks, Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby, are free agents. So the two biggest free agents on the market in terms of cornerbacks are Chris Harris Jr. and Byron Jones. Would you be okay with seeing Byron Jones as a Philadelphia Eagle?
I don't want to. But is it bad of me to say that I would, man, and he's 30. I would love the Cowboys to make a strong move after Chris Harris.
Whoa.
Like I would now obviously
instead of Byron,
I would like for the two of them to play together. That
you
would be pretty cool.
With two first names.
Man, that is Harris a first name?
It can be.
Byron Jones. No, it's Harrison Ford.
It's his son.
No, it's not. He had one interception last year, but he's got 20 in his career. And Byron has how many?
Like three.
So, like, that's the thing, Kevin, for me, that's like, I don't want to see Byron Jones be an Eagle. But I will say that Dak doesn't have to worry about throwing picks.
Wasn't it weird, like, all the corners from the Cowboys, they leave and do way better? Brandon Carr goes to the Ravens, plays way better. Terrence Newman goes to the Vikings, plays way better. Mo Claiborne goes to the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, well, he went to the Jets and played
Jets
better.
Jets first, yeah. But
and then doesn't he get a Super Bowl ring
with the
Chiefs? What
the hell's going on around here?
Oh, man. All right, so you're saying if we let Byron Jones move on.
He's going to lead the world in interceptions.
And did y'all, I don't know if you caught this low-key shade or not so low-key shade he threw at Byron Jones by saying, but at least Dak would never have to worry about throwing an interception. Because he's not going to get it.
I
heard what you said.
He's had at least three interceptions in four seasons out of his career.
Hey, Byron Jones has two for his whole career.
I know, and that's my thing. Like, I love Byron Jones. I love the quality character that comes along with him. I do.
I do, yes.
But the fact that he can't – he's not a – I can't say not a difference maker because he is in coverage. He's just – he's not that combination of ball hawk and great coverage corner. So, I'm fine if he's in the Eagles and we know how to pick on him. And that's something that I can live with.
Do you think female Eagles fans would sing "I'm a Darby Girl"? Just wondering.
That is a great question. See, these are the questions I'm here for.
That's why we're going around the NFC East.
Next up, it's the Giants or the Redskins.
Giants.
General manager Dave Gettleman will trade down in the draft for the first time. So the Giants have the number four pick. So the logic is Burrow goes one, Chase Young goes two, and then you've got the Lions at three and the Giants at four. With the thought being that Tua and Justin Herbert will be obviously the next quarterbacks up on the board and that people will want to trade into those spots.
Kevin, do you remember yesterday we looked at a NFL.com mock draft for three rounds and CeeDee Lamb was going at number four. So you're saying they don't want to add a receiver because they think that they got Slayton and Sterling Shepard and Ingram up there and they're fine?
Are they really going to take CeeDee Lamb number four?
What if they took the cornerback, Okuda? I mean, they do need some cornerback work.
Okay,
their defense is bad.
I know, but you don't envision like another team is going to swoop up there and they're like, hey, I need to get Tua, or hey, I need to get Herbert, or hey, I need to get whoever.
I think it depends on who's five again.
I don't know that.
It depends on who's in front of them more than anything. Because you got to
it's the Dolphins,
yeah,
right?
Okay, yeah. You got to have that team in front of, or that's right behind
Dolphins
you, that you, they have to jump up in front of, and they got to still sit there and say, can we also get our guy if we move down to their spot? And that's what they have to believe, is that they can get whatever person it is that's going to be in the spot they trade down to so that they don't have to trade back up into it. So I think that's a strong possibility, but it seems like more and more teams are very comfortable sitting back and waiting on their draft position.
Now we go to the Washington Redskins. Bold prediction for the Washington Redskins. The Redskins will draft defensive end Chase Young. That's not that bold. And still hold on.
That's going to be a good defensive line.
And still hold on to Ryan Kerrigan via a contract extension. Would that bring some concern to you?
Yeah, absolutely it would. Because Chase Young's that kind of player, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a Bosa type.
He was awesome.
God,
and if they got the production from him that you got from Nick Bosa this year, who was, what, like third in defensive player of the year rankings, and he won defensive rookie of the year? Woo!
They struggled so much offensively, and I don't think that's going to happen with Ron Rivera now.
Okay.
Because I think he's going to be able to figure out what to do there. But on defense, Kevin, do you want to hear what their defensive line looks like?
Because they have Sweat, too, right?
They got Montez Sweat at their linebacker. They got Jonathan Allen at defensive end, De'Aaron Payne at nose tackle, and Ioannidis at defensive end as well. And you said, and they're going to keep Kerrigan and then add Chase Young to the mix? That's frightening. And you just, and you have an aging Cowboys offensive line right now. And on top of that, a running back that didn't produce the way he should have produced last year. That defensive front would be frightening in addition to what they, what, you know, what they have everywhere else. So yeah, man, what a, and they got Landon Collins, who was kind of a bust for them this year. But it, I think that Ron Rivera is going to establish a better football culture in Washington. And I think Washington may surprise some people next year, man. I really do.
Great. So the division is going to get better.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Now, I wanted to throw a couple other things out there that could impact the NFC East one way or another. We start with the Seattle Seahawks. Their bold prediction, the Seahawks will not re-sign Jadeveon Clowney. Now,
I don't think that he wants to re-sign there.
Would that interest you? We talked about Vic Beasley the
other
day.
I already told you yes. And everybody out there knows that since we were a weekend show, yep. Kevin, which we are now the number one midday show. I just wanted to point that out. Thanks to the Tolos. Tolos are awesome. But since we were a weekend show, I've been out on Jadeveon Clowney. But my theory was I didn't like him as the number one overall pick because I thought there was some immaturity and work ethic issues. I think he's grown, and I still think that there's some work ethic issues sometimes. But I would not hesitate to add that kind of presence to my defensive line. And if I could bring back Quinn in some way and have him, and I know they're like, hold on, what about one technique? And oh, man, just give me all the defensive guys. Give me everybody I can get that can go make plays. And that's all I'm looking at this year is give me everybody you can. So if Jadeveon Clowney wants to play for a contender, because that's what he said, I'm not even worried about money. He said, I'm not worried about money. I want a championship.
That? Okay. Does he view here as that option?
I don't know.
Because if you're looking for a championship, the Cowboys aren't like near the top of your list.
I think you're
going to
go try and replace Terrell Suggs in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's
oh,
that's the easiest path, right?
All right.
Is to go join up with Super Team.
I really do think we've discounted the Cowboys have is just winning that one time, how much that will change the perception of your franchise.
Yes.
Then people would slide over here for less money. A couple other things that could impact specifically the Giants. The Chargers will draft a quarterback in the first round. I believe they have the number 6 pick. The Indianapolis Colts will attempt to move up from 13 to draft Tua. So that's another team that could be looking to move up. And the Dolphins will also try to trade up to get Tua. So now you have the Dolphins, the Chargers, and the Colts as all viable options to maybe make a run at the Giants' number 4 pick.
The 4-6-9 on top of my Ron Rivera is going to make the Redskins a better team. Not to mention Jason Garrett's going to bring a winning mentality to the Giants, putting them
Stop
over the top.
It.
So there's that.
They'll finally take it one day at a time and understand what a process this all
Dude,
is.
Dude, can you imagine? I love that, Shippy. Can you imagine the Eagles fans' hatred if the Cowboys got Clowney after he leveled their quarterback this year and took him out? Like that, because they hated him up there for knocking out Wentz in the playoffs. So if you add that player, that's a nasty streak right there. I like.
I want to throw this out there so we can shut this down right now. From the 940, Vegas has the Cowboys second in odds to make the Super Bowl for the NFC behind the 49ers. No, they don't.
They're tied for 6th overall in the NFL.
And that's false, too. They're determining how much chumps Cowboys fans are. They do this every single year, all right? Cowboys fans will bet on the Cowboys more than any other team.
Oh, hell yeah.
Regardless of the numbers.
I love my team.
This year's our year. Yeah.
So they set the line as disadvantageously as possible because they know Cowboys fans will bet no matter what. So don't get fooled into thinking Vegas really believes the Cowboys have that much of a shot. They're like, how much can we chump Cowboys fans into betting at?
Vegas knows what they're doing.
Yes.
They know
yes,
that the Cowboys are winning it all.
No, not that.
Mm-hmm.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
If they didn't know they were going to win it all, Kevin, why wouldn't they just be like, hey, 60-1?
Because then they have to pay that all out.
Exactly. If they win it all.
Stop
it. That's why they won't make it like
that. Stop it. Coming up next. Pete Rose is asking for reinstatement. Can Major League Baseball rip up his ban quicker than Nancy Pelosi would rip up a President Trump speech?
Come on, man.
We'll do that next right here
politics?
On The Fan.
Really?
You know, I left tickets for Bill Buckner, but he couldn't bend over to pick them up.
Man.
How about it?
Is that Pete Rose?
That is Pete Rose at WrestleMania 14 in Boston.
Wow, and he takes the shot at Bill Buckner. Pete Rose asked the commissioner, Rob Manfred, to remove his name from the Major League Baseball ineligible list, which would allow the all-time hits leader to be considered for induction into the Hall of Fame. And I think it's pretty clear that at this point, Kevin, he would be that 100%er to get in, even though Jeter couldn't. No, I think he would.
I think the way Hall of Fame voters hold a grudge forever, some of them would be like, I don't think you should have been
the guys
eligible.
That were all around during Pete Rose era, they're done, right? Like, we've moved on,
man,
haven't we?
Somehow, some of these people stick around. Do you know that the only thing that you have to really prove is that you, at some point, have covered baseball in the last 10 years?
Really?
Like, and I don't even know if that's, like, on a freelance area
or whatever.
Are we
5 or 6 years in then? Because, I mean, we did, since 2010,
yeah.
We've been covering baseball.
We
so
can vote for the Hall of Fame.
Give him a Hall of Fame writing. In a petition sent to Major League Baseball Commissioner's Office, and it was a 20-page request, Kevin.
Wow.
To be allowed in. Here's the main sticking point, though. The lawyers of Pete Rose say that his lifetime ban is vastly disproportionate when compared with MLB's punishments of players who took performance-enhancing drugs and the players involved in the sign-stealing schemes of 2017 with the Houston Astros.
I was curious if that was going to come up.
Here's a quote from the 20-page petition for reinstatement. There cannot be one set of rules for Mr. Rose and another for everyone else. No objective standard or categorization of the rules violations committed by Mr. Rose can distinguish his violations from those that have incurred substantially less severe penalties from Major League Baseball. And so he wants a meeting with Rob Manfred. And I want to ask everybody out there, and I'd love to get a thought from Chris Woodward whenever we go out to spring training, Kevin. If they let him in, because the idea is you bring the hammer down and never let it up because you want people to understand what they can't do. And if you let up, then they're going to say, I'm going to take advantage of that rule. Do you think managers would then say, well, now I'm free to bet on baseball?
Yeah. Because I was thinking I was with your line of thought, but I bet they would release like an additional statement. Where they would just say, hey, this is still prohibited, blah, 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 blah. Plus, I think like you would look at it and say, well, you were banished for 30 years. And so maybe if that's still the threat, then I don't think that would be an issue.
It was set as a lifetime ban.
Sure.
And
Roy Tarpley got lifetime ban from the NBA twice.
That's weird. And look what's happened to the NBA since then, Kevin.
What?
It's on the rise.
Also, he died.
He
did.
So a 30-year ban, if they just said, okay, it's been 30 years, and for 30 years, you weren't able to capitalize on what you were as a Hall of Famer. Because if you're a Hall of Famer, you get to add that to the end of your name.
Yep.
And that solidifies everything. It validates whenever you say, my fee is... $15,000, you know, because I'm Pete Rose, Hall of Famer. Everybody loves me.
Sure.
People are showing up because they love me. What happened when he showed up in Boston, Kevin? They asked him to be a heel.
Yes, they did.
And he said, okay, I guess because people kind of hate me at WWF 14, WrestleRama 14, I have to go out there and I have to be the heel rather than being Pete Rose, the lovable guy that couldn't get the connection with the president when he called to congratulate me on my hits.
Right.
Like, do you remember that moment? He picks up the phone and he's like, hello? Hello? And it is all of a sudden, hold on for Mr. President. And it's just like, it took an hour for him to get on. But everybody loved Pete Rose. So because of this stain, though, everybody has kind of had this, oh, well, he's a bad guy. And he had to play that. He couldn't put Hall of Famer status with the love that came along with it. And I think that's enough to keep managers from that could potentially be Hall of Fame managers or Hall of Famers. I think that's enough to keep them from trying to capitalize on betting.
I
agree with you in that sense that I think that managers would look at it and say, you know what? I don't need to do that.
And I just think he has
to make a ton of money anyway, dude.
I mean, that's true. I think he has such a compelling argument given the ridiculous standards that baseball has set. First of all, baseball has a rule put in place that once you die, your lifetime ban is no longer applicable. Okay? So like, he's going to get in the Hall of Fame.
But he doesn't get a benefit from it.
Fine, but okay. So, like, you're really sticking it to him by going, I don't want you in the Hall of Fame as long as you're alive. But once you're dead, it's fine. So your issue is not that he can't be in the Hall of Fame, because that's what they said. They said, when you die, look, let's be honest.
They said that?
Yes. They have a rule that says now, when you die,
you can be considered
for the Hall of Fame. So you now, Shoeless Joe Jackson can now be considered for the Hall of Fame. Awesome. So basically what you're telling me is I don't care if you're actually in the Hall of Fame. I just want to make sure that you're dead. What an arbitrary policy that is that really seems to go beyond the pale of what a normal person would say. Like, how are you going to go, we'll squash the beef after you're dead because you're dead and I won? That's what baseball is saying.
I put it in my will that I would not accept it.
Okay, well, then you're just as petty as Major League Baseball.
No, I would,
because
then what's baseball doing, right? They're benefiting off of my name and my death, but they never would allow me to benefit from them whenever I was alive.
I think you're missing the picture here, Corey. What you should really do is get all of the people that will give speeches on your behalf to just burn Major League Baseball to the ground, all right? You need to accept this and teach your daughter, teach Lucy what to say to torch them to the ground. That's what you need to do. That's your revenge from beyond the grave, because that's no more petty than Major League Baseball, who's like, well, we'll let you in after you die, but now it's fine.
Do you think Pete Rose would let Lucy speak on his behalf?
Okay, I meant more specifically you, but
oh,
sure.
Okay. All right.
Anybody who meets Lucy will do whatever she says.
That's true.
So maybe. But then his other point is really valid, is, okay, so Pete Rose, the whole issue with Pete Rose is he gambled on baseball while he's in baseball. Oh, not okay. Even though he didn't gamble against his own team. So he didn't throw any games or anything like that. Where on the flip side, the Houston Astros and Boston Red Sox have both been busted systematically cheating the game, and they won a world championship. They altered the course of baseball history. What did Pete Rose do that was so wrong that altered the course of baseball history? Nothing. Nobody knew about his betting in the moment. They only found out about it like after he had done it. And him making bets didn't alter the course of anything, especially since the research they did found out that he never bet against his own team. So the way he coached or played was never altered one time. The Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox both altered the course of history, and they're fine. You know how many people from their team are banished for the players? None. You know how many of their coaches are banished? None. They got suspended for a year.
How many steroid PED users are in? Because McGuire's not.
Nope.
Bonds is not.
Nope.
Clemens is not.
Nope.
Palmeiro never will be.
Nope.
Because of his Congress pointing finger.
Yep.
Schilling was never implicated in that, right?
No.
Okay.
He has other issues.
Yeah. All right. So, but how many guys that were involved in that? Canseco won't be, you know, like he's because of his weird stuff. So, Kevin, I'm trying to point out
several
here.
If you want.
All right, yeah, Pudge.
Yeah, I was gonna be really careful about that, like
because of implications.
Exactly, the implications were there. Bagwell.
All right.
Tim Raines.
I didn't know that.
Do you think A-Rod will get into the Hall of Fame?
I do.
I do, too. Him. So I guess just four straight away.
I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out, because those big names in McGuire, Bonds, and Clemens are, they're the ones that are, like, they're put on that pedestal of, they were that great, but they cheated the game, and they might never get in. But they already did let some implicated guys in.
Absolutely.
So does Pete Rose have a statement there too of, well, I mean, y'all, they had the Hall of Fame has not let them in. And to be honest, the Hall of Fame has not let the Astros in either. So it's not that Pete Rose, you know, doesn't, that the history books don't say that he did what he did. Major League Baseball's history books still have his numbers in it.
Yep.
But he's not in the Hall of Fame. So, and that's the writers more than it is Major League Baseball. Does he think that by being reinstated by Major League Baseball that is automatically going to get him voted in?
I mean, I think it will, but I look.
The writers have forgiven and forgotten.
I mean, most of them
are dead.
Not all of them, actually. Yes, but I'll be really interested in 2 years. Okay, in 2 years, I think that's the last year of eligibility on the ballot for Clemens and Bonds. I believe could be 3 years, but 2 or 3 years. And there's always a spike in that last year of voting. I will be curious if they're just like, that's fine. Just let them both in. And then if you let them both in, maybe he needs to reevaluate his case in 2 years if it doesn't work now. Because now you had somebody in Barry Bonds who holds the home run record because he's a cheater. You have Roger Clemens who holds the record for most Cy Youngs because he's a cheater. You have Pete Rose, who holds the record for most hits. Because why? Because he was good at baseball. Like, that's a weird disconnect. You're in even though you cheated. You're in because you hold this record and you cheated. You're not in because you hold this record legitimately, but then you did other off-the-field stuff, which we don't like. It's the same thing that we brought up with Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling is not in the Hall of Fame because of his political beliefs. That's a fact. And it's a weird disconnect where people decide what is okay and what is not okay.
There's part of me that wants the, like, other people involved in the voting process.
What do you mean?
Like, players. Like, I bet if we asked a bunch of the Rangers players about certain guys, they'd be like, I want that guy in the Hall of Fame. And I think there are a lot of, there with the media has too much of the power in that. And does the media cover the other guys all the time?
No.
So like, I do wonder, like, they have to be convinced by a writer they trust, right? If a guy should, you know, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, but it shouldn't be that difficult. There is no player in the history of baseball, Major League Baseball, that has more hits than Pete Rose. If you lead a significant category ever, you don't need to make much more of an argument. Oh, well, what was Pete Rose's war? Don't care. He has the most hits ever. You could look it up all you like. I don't care. How many batting titles did he win? Don't care. And then people always bring this up. Ty Cobb is a great example.
Pete Rose's war was 79.7.
Okay, well, he's already probably been passed by Mike Trout. I'll put Mike Trout in the Hall of Fame right now. Ty Cobb is one of the most miserable human beings who ever lived. He is an avowed racist and woman beater. He's in, so that's fine. So baseball is like, and I know it's different eras, but baseball is telling me if you have radical political opinions now, it's not okay. If you were a racist back then, that's fine. Baseball is telling me it's not okay if you bet on baseball now, but back then, if you beat up women, it's fine. That's what the Baseball Hall of Fame tells me.
Pete Rose is 64th all-time in war.
That's not the stat I'm using to pitch him to the Hall of Fame, okay? He's number one in hits.
Oh, yeah, but 64th in war, right behind Jeff Bagwell.
Oh, yeah.
Ahead of Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, and Jeff Bagwell's in the Hall of Fame.
Ahead of Paul Molitor.
Yeah, just think about how insane that is.
Ahead of Reggie Jackson.
How is Jeff Bagwell in the Hall of Fame and Pete Rose is not? I cannot abide by that.
Behind Al Kaline.
That's Al Kaline. Thank you very much.
He's got some great water.
Also in the Hall of Fame. That is not right. That is hilarious, though. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, the biggest Super Bowl windows in the NFL. Are the Cowboys actually in this mix? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.